WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Friday to you. Happy Fun Friday, which of course is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And I'm just going to start off the show with a important little bit of information for you from Dee's Hot Dogs, because it is Mother's Day weekend. And on Mother's Day, Dee's is going to be giving out a sweet treat to moms to celebrate the day while supplies last. So if you take mom over to Dee's for her favorite hot dog, she's going to get a sweet treat as well. And I'll keep reminding you about that during the course of the show, as well as keep reminding you that Sunday is Mother's Day, just in case you haven't gone out and gotten anything yet. That's why Potting Bench Floors and Gifts in Fairhaven can save you, but we'll get into all that coming up. And as Fun Friday, and it being Mother's Day weekend, our Fun Friday question today comes from Emily in New Jersey. She wants to know, who is your favorite fictional mom? Now, this can be TV, movies, books, what have you, but we're just asking your favorite, not the best, not the one you most wish had been your own mom. We're talking just your favorite. So, you know, I don't think anybody would vote for Peg Bundy to be their own mom, but that might be their favorite TV mom because of the laughs and because of the, you know, the storylines of the show. So whatever it may be, whoever it may be, we want to know today, who is your favorite fictional mom? And we'll get into that with all of you coming up. There are some, of course, it is Fun Friday. We try to keep things a little bit looser on Fridays, but there are some other important news stories to discuss as well. Of course, we have a new pope, and he is from the United States. Originally, he's kind of a world figure now, well, even before being pope. But we had Brian Fraga on yesterday from the National Catholic Reporter, breaking down for us some of the candidates, and I asked, you know, what the potential is for an American pope. And he said, you know, while he thought that the likelihood would be that they would continue to keep the pope not from the United States, because it can just be seen as a person who's too tied into the politics of America, Brian did say that Cardinal Prevost would be the most likely, you know, if there was going to be an American pope, this would be the one that he could be, because what was the phrase he used? It was the least American American. So now, surprisingly to a lot of people, he has become Pope Leo XIV. And I, as someone who doesn't really know that much about all of this stuff, I was watching some of the TV coverage last night as I was eating my dinner, and they were talking about the selection of the name Leo and what it stands for, and they were talking about, you know, how he would continue on many of the policies of Francis, and Brian said yesterday that that's who he expected they would select, somebody who would continue on and not be a radical departure from what Pope Francis had been doing and his views. And there are some little nuances between Francis and Leo, but for the most part, it will be a very similar to some of that, although a little bit more conservative, I guess, in church doctrine. certainly I would expect you're going to see a papal visit to the United States relatively soon. But I think a lot of folks were surprised, and then when, you know, they thought about it, they said, well, you know, not surprised. And of course, there were those who tried to make it political and said, well, this is the College of Cardinals rebuking what's going on in America because Pope Leo had been on Twitter and had been reposting and making critical comments of the Trump administration and the MAGA movement. So this is a way of the College of Cardinals rebuking the American government. And as I heard some analysts saying, like, it's kind of a little bit of an egocentric way of looking at it as Americans. That the Pope is a world figure, and American politics, as much as America matters to the rest of the world, American politics don't figure into a lot of what goes on in their daily lives. And that in this particular case, you know, that's too minute of an issue on the Pope's agenda of things that he's responsible for to have that have had an impact. So this has nothing to do. I mean, maybe there are some people who've felt that way and said, hey, I like this idea because it will stick it to the Trump administration. But I also think, you know, you've also got people on, you know, cardinals in the College of Cardinals who probably are more conservative and would agree with that agenda. So I think that's just our, and I can't remember which analyst said it, but someone said exactly like, that's just our ego. That's just us thinking the world revolves around us. Like, this was because he was, it was a chance to continue on with Francis's agenda. It was also a chance to have the first Pope from the United States, because you had the one that was probably the most acceptable to people not from the United States, especially since he also has dual citizenship in Peru from all of his work there. So it's a exciting time. It'll be something different for us to not have to hear the Pope translated when he speaks, although, you know, I'm sure he speaks many different languages. But we can get your thoughts at 508-996-0500. And then if you didn't see the story, New Bedford Light had it yesterday. They've updated it since it first came out. I know Brian was talking about it last night on Brian's Beat. But the man who was detained by ICE and taken from his car after the ICE agents broke his window is going to be released because the Department of Homeland Security never filed any charges against him. He's being dismissed for failure to prosecute, which his lawyer is saying in 27 years of practice, she's never seen happen. Juan Francisco Mendez, they never brought charging documents forth in the 4 weeks he's been locked up. So his lawyer petitioned to have him released. The judge agreed. There were some, originally he was supposed to be sent back to Massachusetts to, I think, what was it, Chelmsford? Burlington. And then be released from Burlington later in the day. I guess that got a little bit held up. They encountered a delay because they had him listed under a different alien registration number than the one that his lawyer and the Executive Office of Immigration Review had for him. She also said that ICE refused to recognize her as Mendez's attorney because she had not digitally uploaded a G-28 form saying so, though she said Mendez has such a form on his person, and she said they've never needed more than just the physical form before. So now she has to get into the system, create a profile, and wait a day to get it approved. So in 4 weeks, nobody told her, hey, we need to have you registered electronically as his lawyer. It just seems like they're trying to delay it as much as they can. Even though Department of Homeland Security is the ones that screwed up. Whether screwing up and failing to prosecute or screwing up and they probably took the wrong person. And that's what we said it was going to look like. That's what I said it looked like. And what the reporting was that it looked like when it happened, because they were asking for somebody under a different name. And he wasn't that person. And they took him anyway, thinking, well, if he's an immigrant, maybe there's something that'll stick. And there wasn't anything. They couldn't find anything, so they couldn't prosecute anything. And I don't know about you, but that's not a good way to handle things. Arrest them now and figure out what you'll charge them with later is not a good way to operate. So this is a huge win for those who want to see a more ordered way of doing things, because this is the proof right here that the way they're doing things isn't the right way. And now I think people should be able to understand why Mendez did not want to open the door for the ICE agents, why he insisted on waiting for his lawyer. He knew they had no reason to be detaining him. And he knew that if they took him, he wasn't going home for dinner that night. And he got a month lockup for no reason whatsoever. And by the way, he's also going to have a pretty strong case to sue the federal government. And I think it would behoove the federal government to try to figure out a way, and maybe this can be done through executive order, but to make citizenship a negotiation benefit that can be offered. Hey, Mr. Mendez, rather than sue us for wrongful imprisonment, wrongful arrest, we'll just grant you your citizenship now. Because otherwise there's going to be a lot more of these cases as they're just grabbing up people off the street and hoping there's something they can charge them with. That is frightening. And I know some of you were okay with that tactic. Some of you would say, oh, go pull up in vans, round them all up, detain them all. And then once you get them in detention, sort them out. But that's not how things work. Anyway, 508-996-0500 if you want to react to that. Got a feeling we're going to be strangely quiet on that topic today. And then, of course, as this is Mother's Day weekend, in addition to our fun Friday question about who's your favorite fictional mom, if you want to do some mom shout-outs, that's cool too. You can do that 508-996-0500, or you can send an app chat message or record an open line voicemail. Open up the WBSM app, hit the open line button, record what it is that you want to say. Please keep it something we can put on the air. And then just hit the send button. That's going to come to me in the studio here, and I can preview it and then play it on the air. So easy to do, and it's so much better when you are you know, not sure if you're going to be able to make a phone call during the course of the morning, but you still want your voice to be heard. You can just record it when it's convenient for you and then send it off. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my first break of the morning and we'll be back in a few moments. And of course, that is the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne, with a very sweet song, Mama, I'm Coming Home. It was written by Ozzy and Zakk Wylde and Lemmy from Motorhead. Helped them write that song, and it's based on what Ozzy used to say to Sharon when a tour was over. He would call her up and he'd say, Mama, I'm coming home. And so that was kind of the inspiration for the song. So good one to play for your mom on Mother's Day, especially if, you know, she's a metalhead. 508-996-0500. We're going to take some calls coming up after the news. Right now, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
President Trump not happy with interest rates not being lowered. Changes at Netflix and Max. And neighbors upset with Elon Musk.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump says Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is, quote, a fool who doesn't have a clue. After the central bank held rates steady, President Trump says he should have cut rates.
Well, the Bank of England cut, China cut, everybody's cutting but him.
The president has repeatedly called for lower interest rates as his administration navigates economic uncertainty following its sweeping tariff rollout. The Fed left rates at a range of 4.25% to 4.5% on Wednesday, marking the third hold in a row. New York Mayor Eric Adams' administration is highlighting an amendment in the state budget agreement that gives the city more tools to help the mentally ill and get them off the streets.
And although it is rare, random attacks are still committed by people who desperately need help. We cannot continue to ignore them, and we are not.
Adams says an amendment now clarifies that the inability to meet basic needs is defined as a form of danger to oneself. That means New York City homeless outreach teams will be able to remove more people off the streets and get them help. Elon Musk being accused of being a bad neighbor. Residents of a ritzy Austin suburb of West Lake Hills complaining about a 16-foot chain-link fence that surrounds his $6 million property.
Granting these variances would do nothing but to facilitate their bad behavior on our quiet little cul-de-sac.
Paul Hemmer, who leads the Neighborhood Homeowners Association, says Musk is not even living at the home. He's calling it a hub for a security team that fills up a dead-end street with a fleet of cars. There are also reports that Musk has been trying to buy two neighboring lots to serve as a compound for him, his 13 kids, and their mothers. Netflix rolling out a redesign for its homepage on TV screens, the first big makeover since 2013.
Netflix CEO Greg Peters sat down to discuss some of the changes on NBC's Today Show.
Really, at the end of the day, we're looking at, you know, what is the viewing behavior? Because that's the thing that matters the most. Are we satisfying viewers and are they watching?
Starting next week, the homepage will feature fewer titles but more video. Company officials say the goal is a sleeker design that will get more people to press play and stay. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And Warner Brothers Discovery says that they'll get more assertive about cracking down on password sharing later this year. The media company that has Max says it will take up to a year and a half to fully roll out the service password sharing initiative. The CEO and president of Global Streaming said they'll start with soft messaging reminders to subscribers before getting firmer and more visible. Max has just over 122 streaming subscriptions worldwide. Federal student loan borrowers who do not make timely payments could face credit score damage and wage garnishment, with them moving back into collections.
The Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid is resuming collections on defaulted federal student loans. Attorney Ben Matthews says student loan debt is confusing for most people now more than ever because
there's been a lot of change in the past couple of years. So it's you know, from COVID all the way up through the end of the Biden administration, now the Trump administration, they have not left it alone at all.
Matthews says that he's seen clients with $200,000 in student loan debt qualify for bankruptcy by showing
because you can't afford it now. It's unlikely that you'll be able to afford it in the future, and you've made some good faith efforts to pay to make payments.
I'm Katie Gray.
Toyota is projecting a decline in profit for the current financial year. The top-selling automaker released a report yesterday forecasting a 21% profit decline due to widespread fallout from sweeping tariffs implemented by President Trump. This comes a year after record profits totaling $32.4 billion for the manufacturer. According to Toyota, the company must also navigate the negative impact from a stronger yen. The new Pope's two older brothers are thrilled that Robert Prevost of Chicago is now the Holy Father.
It's totally unreal, totally surreal, and it's a tremendous, tremendous thing to take in, but it's something to be very proud of.
That's John Prevost, the middle brother of the newly elected Pope Leo XIV. John says he's recently asked his brother if he'd watched the movie Conclave so he'd know how to behave. And John says with a chuckle that Robert had indeed just finished watching the movie. Pope Leo's eldest brother, Louis, says that he hopes things don't turn political because he's from America.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox blanked the Rangers yesterday afternoon at Fenway 5-0. Sox are in Kansas City tonight at 7:40. And the Celtics will try to pick up a win against the Knicks in New York tomorrow in Game 3 at 3:30.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Clouds and showers today, 61. Still wet tonight, 53. Starting out the weekend with lighter rain tomorrow. Showers will end by tomorrow afternoon. It'll stay cloudy, 65. Mother's Day on Sunday looks perfect. Sunshine, 70. More sun for Monday, 67. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
That's just because you've got blinders on, Tom Petty. There's good to be found in every town. You just got to know where to look. That's remarkably positive of me today. I'm trying to be a bright ray of sunshine here in your cloudy. Looks like it's going to rain soon, 55-degree day. But speaking of sunshine, nobody is a bigger ray of sunshine in your life than Isaacson Solar if you're looking to save money on your electric bill, because going solar will help you save money, right? Not only will it lessen your bills, eventually you're going to get to the point where the power company is paying you. That's what the solar companies tell us, but is it true? Well, Isaacson Solar will give you straightforward answers to every question you have about going solar. And they'll talk with you about whether or not your home is a good fit for solar. You might say, hey, listen, you know, my house is from 1713. I am not going to put solar panels on my home. That's okay. First of all, they've put solar panels on many historic homes while preserving the integrity of the structure, but that's okay. They'll can find another place on your property to put up solar panels. They could even build you a carport or a solar pavilion for the yard where you can collect solar panels while also enjoying the shade during the summer months. So you can see some examples of the work that they do on their Facebook page. They have great photography and drone footage, so you can see exactly how it's going to look if they come and install solar panels on your home. But also, you want to call them and have them sit down and talk to you. Don't just make this decision based on what you've heard or what you've read online. They are going to give you answers that directly relate to you and your home and your family. So how can you set that up? Just go to isaacsonsolar.com. I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. Go there, tell them I want you to come to my house, take a look and talk with me, and they will do it. And then if you do decide that you're a good fit for solar, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote, so you can still talk it out with the family and decide if it's definitely the route you want to go. IsaacsonSolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. And they bring you this portion of the program here on WBSM. So as I mentioned, it is Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And today's question came from Emily in New Jersey, who wants to know, who is your favorite fictional mom? And now my mind immediately goes to TV moms. There's been so many great TV moms over the years, but maybe you're thinking someone from a movie. Maybe you're thinking someone from a book, a play, a song. But I think, you know, TV moms play a big part in a lot of our perception of moms when it comes to, you know, gee, I'm glad, you know, Peg Bundy isn't my mom, to, well, I wish my mom had been a little bit more like Donna Reed, you know? But I think probably the best fictional mom in my mind, and this is certainly up for debate and discussion, and we can talk it out if you'd like to at 508-996-0500. But the best fictional mom in my mind for almost 40 years now, 35, 36, has been Marge Simpson. Marge Simpson is the glue that holds that show together and the glue that kind of all the other storylines bounce off of. Homer can't be as crazy and impetuous as he is if there isn't a Marge to ground him. Bart can't be as wild as he is if there isn't a Marge to serve as his conscience. You know, Lisa can't be the character she is if Marge isn't there to point out both her perseverance and her hypocrisy sometimes. And to be the voice of reason in an insane town. That show without Marge as its center would not have lasted as long as it did. And it is kind of sad because even as they just signed to do 4 more years of the program, Julie Kavner's voice is not holding up doing Marge because she has to make her voice so extra gravelly to do it. So I'm hoping that they can, and I noticed that the last few episodes, it sounded better. So I wonder if they're already doing this, but I thought they would be able to utilize some AI technology, not to do the voice, but to have her be able to just kind of speak in her regular voice, and then they could use like a Marge filter on it so that she doesn't have to do the raspiness. I can only imagine if it's that hard for her to do Marge, how hard it is for her to do Patty and Selma. And that's probably why you've seen decreasingly less of them in the show. But I think she is the most important fictional mom because of what a linchpin she is for everything else that that show can do, which I still watch every week. It's hard to believe that I started watching that show, you know, the very first episode. I was so excited for it to come out because I remember The Simpsons from Tracy Ullman. And I have watched it throughout my entire adult life, and my sense of humor has never changed. I'm still a 12-year-old kid, I guess. But I think she is, you know, probably my favorite fictional mom. But there's others, too. There's others that are great. If you watch the show Ted on Peacock, which is a TV series based on the movies about the talking teddy bear, the mom on that show is hilarious. Very funny. And probably like a lot of our moms, because, you know, they're a Massachusetts family. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, your mom and certainly my mom are very similar. And a lot of times, you know, you get these, especially TV shows, where the mom is kind of like that ancillary character who ends up becoming more like the main character. Like, if you look at a show like The Goldbergs, the mom really kind of became the star of that show. Every storyline involved her in it. So TV moms especially are very important, and, you know, they're not all just background characters. Now, some shows that, you know, they are. But as we have changed the perception of what a mom is in society, and TV has reflected that, you've seen more depth to those characters. You know, back in the 80s, you'd say to a kid like, oh, who, if you could have any TV parents, who would you want to have? And people would say, oh, I want to have Claire and Cliff Huxtable. And obviously, Bill Cosby accusations aside, we're talking about the fictional characters here. But people always pointed to the fact that, you know, they were trying to instill in their kids that, hey, you know, we, and they did it without ever saying it, but they instilled in their kids like, hey, you know, we're kind of behind the eight ball in society because we are minorities, and, you know, you've got to act right because you're under a bigger microscope. And a lot of kids, young kids, took that to heart, whether they were minorities or not. They just took it to heart because they said, yeah, I probably should not be such a knucklehead. And the one thing I thought about that show was it did a great job of portraying the fact that, although they never really said it, let's face it, the mom was the bigger breadwinner in that family. No, Cliff worked from home, and I'm sure as an OBGYN, he made a good salary, but like she was definitely the breadwinner there. Who is your favorite fictional mom? That is our fun question today, our fun Friday question. You can also shout out your own mom if you'd like to, or any mom that's in your life. And I think we've got a good mix of different generations that listen to this program. So we should be able to get a wide variety of responses. You can go all the way back when it comes to, you know, fictional moms, or if you want to talk about TV moms. You know, I think one of the biggest TV mom moments was Lucy Ricardo having a baby. And then you fast forward 30 years later and you have Murphy Brown being an unwed mother, to the point where the vice president of the United States was arguing about a fictional character. So moms have played a pretty important role in TV, movies, music, books, plays, what have you. So let's celebrate them today. All right, we're going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about the unfortunate return of the Chromebook Challenge. If you hear your kids talking about this, make sure you tell them not to take part in it. It's dangerous. And not only that, they're probably talking about doing it with school property. So it's going to cost you money too. But we'll get more into that coming up in a little bit. We were talking before about the person who was detained in New Bedford by ICE, has been ordered to be released after failure to prosecute. Homeland Security never filed any charges against him. So he's been sitting in jail for a month with no charges against him. So he's been released. And Bags in New Bedford says, you should be mad at the last administration for putting us in this position, but you're awfully quiet on that. Well, by the same token, you could be equally upset about the Trump administration the first time around not doing anything to fix immigration in the first place. So if you want to keep using whataboutism, which is the lowest form of argument, there's a lot of whataboutism we could throw out there. But it doesn't matter. what happened in the previous 4 years, the previous 8 years, the previous 100 years doesn't matter. That doesn't change the fact that ICE picked up someone that they didn't have any reason to pick up and detained them for a month. So no matter what Joe Biden complaint you have, it doesn't change the fact that this Trump administration policy is wrong. You know, that argument doesn't work. It doesn't. That argument only works if what I was to say was, you know, Donald Trump is letting too many people cross the border. If I said that and you came back and said, well, look at how many people Joe Biden let cross the border, that would be like the only time that argument would be effective. Otherwise, it's just whataboutism, and you can do better than that. It's okay to say, yep, they screwed up. And yep, they're probably going to screw up some more. And maybe this isn't the best way to do it. So this is just going to be the first of many cases, I'm sure, if this is the way that they're operating. And every one of those cases that are mistaken identity or, you know, grab them and hope you can find something on them later could end up costing the federal government money in lawsuits. That's why I said maybe they should just trade citizenship to say, you know what, we'll make you a citizen if you don't sue us for this. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Got to take one last break in this hour. We'll be right back. All right. Well, I will respond to the app chat message I got from DL when we come back, just because I don't have enough time before the end of the hour.